While you turn to Haggai 1, verses 9 through 11, let me say that we're excited to have a new team member on the platform. Brother Ben Browning's joined us, and he's helping us with... I don't know what that distraction was out there. Somebody was holding a camera up, videoing everything he said and everything he did. I think that was his proud mom. We're sad but glad to be able to announce that this year Rockwell has gone from a satellite work to a daughter work, and they are officially establishing a church in Rockwell. Amen. And so that portion of the Turners will be with us on Sunday nights. Amen. I told Brother Nathan, I'm so glad to be able to offer that to you, because when my wife and I came to town, there was nowhere else to be on Sunday night except Landmark. But we were glad to be able to do that. God has raised up a great church, and I believe God's going to raise up a great church in Rockwell. Amen. That's about 5 churches that have come out of Landmark at this time. Amen. Some of them, one of them, I think it is, I haven't thought about it real deep, but one of them I think we've adopted. Others, they just want to learn from us. Even some here in town. Yeah, we had one preacher, he's probably watching right now. We love you, buddy. He asked to be my wife's friend, and since he's been my wife's friend, everything we do at Landmark, they do there. And we're glad about that. Hallelujah. We're pace setters, and God is doing a great work here. Amen. And someone said, you're going to Lexington, North Carolina. This is a few years back. I said, yes. They said, Lexington. I said, yes. They said, you know how many people are in that little town? I said, no. They said, you know what the average pay scale is in Lexington? I said, no. Do you know how long there's been a United Pentecostal Church there in Lexington and they haven't grown over 30 people? I said, yes. And they said the magic word. That's just a burnover field. And I said, have you ever seen the crops that can grow in a burnover field? Farmers purposely burn their fields over so they can grow a new crop. All I know is that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, spoke to us and led us here and directed us here. And I just want to brag on Jesus and say, look what the Lord has done. Amen. And look what the Lord is doing. Praise God. The people that God is giving us, the character of the people, the nature of the people. I know you didn't even notice it, but our drummer played the drums like a wild man this morning for the glory of God, tears running down his face because last night his brother died. And he called me this morning and he said, Pastor, he said, we'll be there. He said, I've got to have church. That's how you build what we're building. That's how you have what we have. Amen. And he's not the only one. That character is all over this congregation. Amen. And I praise God for it. And it's backbone and it's strength and it's character and integrity like that that you build churches on, because you can rely upon that character and that spirit. Amen. And the sacrifice. Amen. The mutual feeling of we got to have church. We've got to have a great church. If we're going to have a church, let's be that church. And every one of you feel that same spirit, and I praise God for it. I cannot begin to tell you how much I love what I feel in the house of God right now. There's a presence of the Lord. There's a spirit of God. So in this new year, let's continue to make all of our guests, every one of them, feel welcome. Amen. Make them feel like that once they get in here, they can't escape. that they can't get away from it, and that they just have to have it. Amen. To all of you that helped us last night, we had a prayer chain going from the hour of power all the way through to about 7, or I think it was 8 o'clock this morning. We had someone here praying each hour. And the hour that my wife and I and Cody prayed last night at 12 midnight, there were several people here, and then a troop of people showing up for the next hour just before we left. Wonderful, powerful, and it's absolutely awesome. And I thank God for you. Amen. There will be a new sheet out in the hallway for this coming up Saturday. We do this every January to launch the year. And so there'll be a new sheet out there for this Saturday. If you want to sign up for an hour of prayer throughout the night, well, then you're more than welcome. Praise God. All right. Here we go. The Bible said, you look for much, and lo, it came too little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of the hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man to his own house. In other words, you have a house, but you don't care about mine. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. My. Verse number 11 says, and I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle. That means your harvest. Everybody shout harvest. And upon all the labor of the hands. In other words, everything's done for naught because my house lies in ruin. And so I want to talk to you about releasing the reapers. Release the reapers. These are the ones that go to the field with the sharpened sickle and bring in the harvest. You say, Pastor, who are the reapers? It's the person that looked in the mirror just before they came to church this morning. It's every individual, myself included. I've heard pastors come up with the excuse that they don't have to be soul winners. They don't have to go to homes and speak and to people and hospital visits and nurture the sick or anything like that, because they're pastors and the people are the sheep, and it's the sheep that beget sheep. Well, that works for sheep. But spiritually speaking, every one of us are sheep. All of us are included in the harvest. And we all need to set forth the sickle. Amen. Why? To rebuild and reestablish the house of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for the chance and the opportunity to stand before such a great congregation and preach the wonderful word of God. We ask you to bless it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, to our hearing. And everyone shouted amen. Shake someone's hand as you're seated just now. Amen. Israel put God on hold for 18 years. 18 years they put God on hold. Israel's holiest site on earth, the Jerusalem temple, is all it is a rock pile. Invaders from Babylon and what is now Iraq tore down most of the city in 586 B.C. and then deported the Jews to Babylon as slaves. That exile lasted about 50 years until 539 B.C. when Persians from what is now Iran defeated Babylon and freed the political prisoners. The Persian emperor, Cyrus, you've heard about him in the Word of God, respected religion, and he gave the freed prisoners his blessing to rebuild their temples. He said so in a clay document that has survived from his reign. It's called the Cyrus Cylinder. In this document, he asked the freed prisoners to do him a favor, and this is what the emperor said. He said, say a prayer for me when you get that temple built. Say a prayer for me. In other words, I see harvesters. I see reapers going out to do something great for their God. And when you go do something great for your God, say a prayer for me. About 50,000 Jews returned in the first wave back to Israel. They quickly built a foundation for the new temple. But the work stopped when a new emperor came to the throne. Non-Jewish settlers in the new Jewish homeland complained to the emperor about the rebuilding project. They gave him the excuse by saying the Jews had a long history of rebelling against empires. First the Assyrians, then the Babylonians, and then perhaps the Persians next. The emperor stopped the work in Jerusalem. And for the next 18 years, the Jews went about their business, living without their temple. They didn't seem to appeal the emperor's decision, not even after a new emperor arrived in year 17. In the fall of year 18, after what appears to have been a terrible year for the crops, Haggai calls on the Jews, finally, to finish rebuilding the temple. Only then will God bless the land again, Haggai warns. By this time, the Jews have been without a temple for 66 years. An entire generation of Jews has learned to live without it. Haggai must feel that if the temple isn't rebuilt soon, there will be no one left with memories of the old temple or with the desire to build a new one. Amen. We don't build new churches because we want to flash and we want to shine. We build new churches because we need the room. We build new churches because there are people that are still lost. We build new churches because we do not believe, as God does not believe, in us four and no more. I know Davidson County is dotted with a lot of little things, and little religious groups and things like that. And perhaps that's good when that's all you can get. But I believe that the Lord wants to raise up a church that will make a difference in this area for the glory of God. Not a church that bickers, not a church that complains, and not a self-righteous church, not a carnal church. Amen. Amen. But a church that shines for the glory of God, a church that can serve. I told somebody just last week, I said, we serve greater than we lead. We stumble a little bit when we try to lead because we don't know about all that. We don't understand all of that, but we're learning and we're growing as we go, amen. But we do have the heart of a servant, and we will not fail to serve our God. Amen. And so, we've dreamed the dream, and we've seen the vision of the Son of God standing on the edge of our places of burden, and His hands are open wide, and out of His hands the harvest is absolutely released. So since the harvest has been released, where are the reapers? Where are those that are ordering Bible studies? Let me tell you something right now, and you can write this down, and you don't have to hear any more that I say today. And that is this: if you're not reaching for the lost, and if you're not ministering to those that are hurting, you're going to be lost and you're going to be hurting. Amen. If you're not living according to the laws of God and His mercy principles, His forgiveness principles, and His grace principles, and the way that He shares and the way that He cares, and if you're not taking on His nature and His character, you will always be without. I'm just telling you, you can stay the same and continue to do the same way you've always done and have only what you've always had. I just want to tell you why it's that way. Why there's no results when nothing's being done for God. When there's not one door that's being knocked on. When there's not one letter that's gone out. When there's not one phone call for follow-up. When there's not one handshake. When there's not one friendly face to let somebody know we're glad to have you. Hope all is well. Hope you enjoyed the service and that you'll be back. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way I can help you? I'm going to be praying for you because I love you. I don't even know your name, but I know I love you, and I'm glad you're at Landmark because this is just as much your church as it is anybody else. Have you told anybody that lately? Or has it been about you? I'm telling you, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm I don't have money. I don't have this. And you're not going to know where to go. You're not going to know what to do. You're not going to have money. And you're not going to have what... Are you hearing me today? Until you understand the principle of reaching out to someone else. As you reach out to others, God's going to reach out to you. And as the measure goes out, God's going to make sure the measure comes back. The anointing's going to break the yoke in your life. If you'll break the yoke in somebody else's life. Where are the reapers? Holy Ghost, send forth the reapers. Send forth those that have sharpened the sickle and are ready to bring in the harvest. Those that can sacrifice and care. Those that can love without having to be loved back. That can care without having to have someone care about them. Hey, if you only love because somebody loves you, you've got it all backwards. You've got it so wrong, it's pathetic. And you need an altar. Amen. We need to understand that our God loved when they drove spikes through his hands. He loved when they put a crown of thorns on his head. He loved when they drove spikes through his feet and a sword through his side. He loved them. He said, Father, forgive them. Help them. Save them. You don't want to be loud now. You don't want to be seen now. You don't want to wave your hands with worship now. No, because I'm hitting home. But it's time to hit home. Why? Because we need harvesters. We need reapers. Amen. We don't need sleepers and creepers. Amen. We need people that will get out there and get your hands dirty. Get your feet dirty on the pavement. Amen. That will sit in cigarette-infested homes and teach the Word of God and share with somebody the love of God. Where are the reapers? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We see tons of grain, wheat, barley, grapes, and figs, and olives, signifying the multiplicity of souls that will impact our sanctuaries this new year. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so thankful for God that Lexington is so full of diversity and ethnics. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the Spanish, the Irish. Praise God for everything that's here. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we want our church to reflect. Everything that's in Davidson County needs to be in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Everything needs to be worshiping God. Every color, creed, and nationality. Hallelujah. Who am I to say who gets to come to church? I'm just thankful God let me come to church. Somebody shout, Lord, let it rain. Now everybody shout, Lord, let it rain. Hallelujah. Why can't we have to have in the future, why can't we have to have separate services for baptism because there's so many that want to be baptized? Separate services for those seeking the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Want to know more about it. Hallelujah. For those that want the Holy Ghost. Separate services for those that don't understand repentance. And we got to teach them how to repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 200 or 300 over here. 400 or 500 over there. 150 upstairs. More in the fellowship hall. My God, this place crawling like ants with people because somebody decided to be a reaper instead of a sleeper. Judah's problem was confused priorities. Their priorities got confused. The Lord of the harvest really didn't have any rank with his people. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Come on, somebody help me. To seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. Now, why did he save me? Why did he save me? Help me. To seek and to save that which is lost. And if I take care of them, he's going to take care of me. That's exactly right. Amen. But if God doesn't have any rank and he has no dominion and no authority, we will never get around to being reapers and harvesters. And you can say and act and be and all of that. Amen. But I'm telling you, if your heart does not throb for the lost, for those that need God, for those that need to surrender to the Lord, for those that need to go down in a watery grave, amen, then he doesn't have full rank and authority in your life. And listen to this now. When God has no rank, you have no position. How are you going to have position when there's nobody in higher authority to give it to you? Somebody has got to be in higher authority, and somebody's got to help. Somebody's got to deliver the ranks and the positions and the places that mankind have to be, amen, in this end time to have the revival that God has ordained for the church. And but if God does not have rank over you, then there's nobody over you to give you position. And when you don't know where you're at, you're lost. Hallelujah. We cannot afford to let our priorities relating to jobs and homes and vacations and leisure time rank higher on our list of importance than the Lord of what? The Lord of the harvest. Because of Judah's spiritual relationship, catastrophe and or catastrophic events began to take place. And there was grapes and grains and olives. It all died in the field. And the house of God remained in ruin. Because they, just as any other church, they needed a release. Release what? The harvesters. Release the reapers so that they can go and receive the grain and the harvest that the Lord had. Billy Graham's daughter was interviewed on the early show. And Jane Clayson, she asked her, this is what she asked her. She said, how could God let something like this happen? And this is regarding Katrina. Remember the bad storm that hit and people lost their lives by the thousands. And Ann Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. And I want you to hear her response. She said, I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years we've been telling God to get out of our schools. We told God to get out of our government. We told God to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that he is, I believe he has calmly backed away. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand that he leave us alone? You say, well, I have never told God to leave me alone. Actions speak louder than. In other words, our action can say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and there's nothing God can do about it, but I'll check in every Sunday, every so often, or whatever. Amen. But I'm going to do what I want to do. You just told the Lord where to get off. In light of recent events, terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I can go on. I think it started when Madeline O'Hare, which incidentally she was murdered and her body was found a few years ago. She complained she didn't want prayer in the schools. And guess what? America said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read your Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, if we could do that at Landmark, man, every neighbor in the world could be loved. And we said, okay, we won't read our Bibles anymore in school. Then Dr. Benjamin Spock said, we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. Incidentally, Dr. Spock's son committed suicide. We said an expert should know what he's talking about. And so America said, okay, now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers or even themselves. We need something beyond revival, where we preach and we stroke one another's egos and speak in tongues to one another. You know what we need? We need a harvest. We need some dirt up in here. We need some nasty up in here. And we need some saints of God that can nurture that and pray over that and work over that and labor over that until the harvest is gained. And we can represent that and present that to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Instead of recycling ourselves over and over and over, we need to present something to the Lord, just as someone presented us to Him as a part of the new harvest. We need another crop landmark. I said we need another crop. We need another harvest. Amen. We need to stack the hay. We need to bring it in. Hallelujah. People are hungry. People are thirsty. Amen. And we need those that will reap. Praise God. Acts 17 verses 5 and 6. The word of God. Look at what time. Look at this. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy. Jealousy, in other words, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, set all the city in an uproar. Boy, you know anybody like that? Just set it all up, get it all up on fire and get everybody doubting, pounding, mad, upset. Yeah. And so they set the whole city in an uproar and gathered a company. Amen. Assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." My. Here they are, those apostolics. They've come here to turn the city upside down. Here we are trying to tear it down, and they're going to build it up. Why? Because there's a harvest in that city, and there's a harvest in this city. Jesus' ways were always strange to the world. Are you ready to give when others take? Are you ready to love when others hate? To help when others abuse? And to give up your rights in order to serve somebody else? Jesus turns the world's ideas of happiness totally upside down. Jesus' idea of happiness is totally independent of outward circumstances. Hallelujah. Amen. Jason, this is your house. Give us some orders. Give us some orders. Tell us what we're going to do. Amen. I tell you what, let's do. I'm going to give you some orders. Let's just turn this world upside down. Let's let them begin to say, "Oh, Lord, they're coming to Lexington too. They're here. Oh, Lord, they're here." They're already saying it. Years ago, I prophesied and I said, when we go to restaurants, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, "Landmark's here." And just the other week, somebody said, I overheard a waitress say, "That Church of Landmark's coming in. Can you see them? They're coming in the restaurant right now." I want them to know who we are. I want them to know what we're all about. I want them to know we're coming. We are absolutely nothing special. Amen. We've just been born again of the water and of the Spirit, set free by the blood of the Lamb. And we're here not to stroke our egos and to stare at ourselves in the mirror, but we're here to reach out to the lost for that huge Pentecost. You say, "Why in the world are we wanting a harvest like that?" Because we want to bring it all together. The reason we want to bring it all together, because God wants to give us that ultimate Pentecost. He said the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. It doesn't mean it's going to be a different rain. It's going to be the same Spirit that's going to fall. It's going to be the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. But where it was 120 then, amen, I'm telling you right now, why can't it be 120,000 in Davidson County? Why don't you shout until you believe it? Why don't you clap your hands until you believe it? Why don't you say yes until you believe it? Why don't you trust God till you believe it? Let the anointing break your yokes. Let the anointing tear down your strongholds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have to contend with the devil. We're going to have to contend with the flesh. We're going to have to contend with the world. But he that overcometh the world is in us. He that overcometh the flesh is in us. He that overcometh the devil is in us. And we shall overcome. Ooh, hallelujah. Church, we need to realize that we are in the promise of the Lord. Now, his promise is just as great and just as good as his presence. Amen. It's in his presence that the promise is fulfilled. We want his presence, but don't forget, the reason you want his presence is because you want him to fulfill his promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Samuel slept by the ark of God, still could not discern his voice. Key word, slept. Right by the presence of God. Uzzah died by the ark of God, trying to control it. Remember, he's the guy that tried to keep the ark from shaking, thought God's glory was going to fall down and be busted all to pieces, and there'd be no more presence of God. But he died by the ark because he tried to control it. Just because God's moving doesn't mean he's falling down. We don't need any more man-made moves of God. The glory for every miracle that would have gone to Uzzah if he had rescued the Ark of the Covenant that day. God doesn't need rescuing. I do. God doesn't need saving. I do. God doesn't need mercy. I do. Hallelujah. He doesn't need forgiving. And he came for that. And since he has given me that, there's got to be somebody out there I could share that with. Somebody out there that I could tell that to. Somebody out there that I could touch, make a difference in their lives. Somebody out there that I could share. Could you help me worship the Lord right now? I can't praise him as much as he needs it right now. I can't worship him as much as he deserves to be worshiped right now. Glorifying and magnifying the name of Jesus. I want to turn it all upside. I want to transform lives. I want to focus more on Pentecost than technology. Hello? I want to focus more on the Bible this year than my cell phone. Hello? Netflix? Hulu? And that other 150,000 you see as you scroll there. Praise God. Amen. You say, it's only $9 a year. You pay for all of that, and you're going to go to jail because you won't be able to pay your debt. Hollywood's still luring. It's still pulling. Amen. Let's don't OD this year on Hollywood. Amen. Let's get out there and do a work for the glory of God. Let's preach with more power. Let's teach with more authority. Amen. Let's demonstrate with more dimension in God an example than enticing words of man's wisdom and our little agendas. Hallelujah. Jason, this is your house. What do you want to do? Amen. Well, since you've told me that they've come to turn the world upside down, hey, turn them loose and let them turn it upside down. Anything's got to be better than what it's been. I'd love to have been Jason that day. I would say, let them in. Let the apostolics come. We need revival. We need excitement in the house of God. Hallelujah. We need to turn it loose and let it go. We need more young people that will run the aisle. We need more young ladies that will worship God and represent the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't need circus clowns out there with gymnastics. We need the power and the authority and the dominion of the Holy Ghost. My. We need to realize that we are in the promises of God, in the presence of the Lord, and in the touch of the Holy Ghost. The glory for every miracle after that, amen, would have been revival, would have been the turning around and the shaking and the making of great cities for the future. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Besides that, Uzzah, listen to this. It was never God's plan for his presence to be carried by animals. Instead of the Levites carrying it, they hooked it up to animals. Milch kine, Hebrew word for cow. New carts do not impress God. It was to be carried by the Levites. That's the people of God. That's the ministry. You said, well, thank the Lord, I don't have that responsibility. Who said you don't? Every time you say ministry, people want to think preacher. I'm not calling one soul to preach. If anything, we need less preachers and more harvesters. And the preachers that are preachers, they need to become harvesters. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got twice or almost three times as many preachers in the United Pentecostal Church as we do churches. Because they just want to be preachers. Why can't we just be ministry? Because ministry finds men, women, and young people and children to minister to. And God goes from there. The fivefold ministry is mentioned in the Word of God, and it doesn't even say preacher. Hallelujah. And so it is. Stir up the gift of God that is within you. Let's stand together. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. What are you going to do? And Samson would shake himself. It's ironic that Samson would do that because the first book of the Bible written was the book of Job. But in order for it to be in sequence, it started with Genesis because Genesis means beginning. But the book of Job was the first portion of the Bible that was actually written, recorded. And Job said this, "The Lord hath grabbed me by my neck and has shaken me." I wonder if Samson got a hold of that somewhere, Brother Todd. Because every time the enemy would come upon him, the Bible said he would shake himself. In other words, "Lord, bring me back to reality and what really is so I can have your anointing." Well, if that be the case, then I'm asking Jesus to let every one of us shake ourselves so that that anointing can come back upon us and that power, that authority, and that dominion can come back upon us and make us to be what we should be for the kingdom of Almighty God. Are you interested? If you are, then in the New Testament, it carries on where the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, stir up. In other words, shake it again. Job at the beginning shook himself. Samson in the middle shook himself. And now in the New Testament, Paul is telling Timothy, shake yourself. And I'm asking Landmark, let us all just shake. Commit ourselves. Regardless of your dreams and plans, I hope they every one of them come true, and I hope it's even more. I'm here to help you make your dream come true. I want your dreams and vision to come, but first and foremost, I want to see somebody sitting in this house because of your witness. Because you shook yourself and you realized that the Son of God came and bled and died to seek and save that which is lost, and he saved me so I can seek and save that which is lost. David, gather your stones because they're going to come after you. The giants are coming. Hallelujah. That peaceable kingdom, I preached it to you the other night, but that peaceable kingdom has got to be the church while it exists on earth today. I want this to be a peaceable kingdom to those that are having it hard. I know some of us are. I know that. I don't close my eyes to that. Amen. You can't have it any harder than to be standing flat-footed in here and to have lost your brother last night. You can't have it any harder than the doctor looking at you and saying, "I know you think you had a miracle and that tumor is gone." This just happened this week for somebody. "I know you think you've had a miracle and that tumor is gone, but I, as your doctor, feel like that you have cancer and I just want to keep looking." You can't be more fearful than that. And I don't close my eyes to situations and dilemmas that go on with the people of God. But folks, we've got to understand, as people of God, we've got something that causes us to look beyond that and to see the needs of others, knowing that as we look out to others, that God is going to sufficiently take care of us. Amen. And besides all of that, I shout as Paul shouted, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Either way, we win. The magic word is more. And if there's anybody in this house today that wants to be just a little more this year for God, would you come and join with me? And let's call on the name of Jesus. And let's ask Him to help us to be more sufficient for the day, more sufficient for the times, more sufficient for the souls of men that are so needy. Amen. That need God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's people out there that hate. There are people out there that disrespect, dishonor, don't appreciate, but they don't have a clue as to why. We're going to show them, and we're going to share. We're going to love them, and we're going to care. We're going to be there. We're the ones. God is ordained for this work in these last days. Make a connection with somebody and let's pray together right now if it's comfortable. Amen. Let's make a connection and let's reach out with one another right now. Let the Holy Ghost fall on this. Let the Spirit fall on this. Let the anointing fall upon this. Let the presence of God fall right upon this. Hallelujah. Let God's glory be felt. They're hungry, you better think again. And if you don't think they're thirsty, and if you don't think they're looking and searching for the things that you and I have no longer have to search for, you better think again. Amen. I would not waste my time preaching in such depth with such passion. But this church has depth, and it has passion. And all of us need to reignite it every now and then. And I thank God that He's spoken to your pastor. that he's allowed me to speak to, the greatest congregation in the universe.